Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. What a wild one for the Preds last night. They win 4-3 against Colorado with two goals in the final 38 seconds to take the lead. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So what a game last night. I thought, Alex, the Predators really played well for the most part throughout the game. They hung in there stride for stride with Colorado, and it just felt like they were going to end up on the short end of things with Colorado and how good they are in the third period protecting leads. And then all of a sudden, Philip Forsberg swats one out of midair and ties the game, and then a mistake by Colorado leads to a Yakov Trenin goal right after that. How big is that win for this team from a momentum standpoint, especially getting it in the fashion they did?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they were, I mean, right there with Colorado pretty much the whole game. Of course, the Avs had their moments. You know, Cale Makar does crazy things. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Devin Toews had that crazy shot. I mean, they have incredible talent everywhere. But considering that, I mean, I think the Predators just like, you know, entering the third period, I was thinking, you know, the Nashville deserves 2 points here. I don't know if they're going to get it, but they deserve to go get 2 points. And they played well in the third period, which, you know, we've seen them in games this year go into third periods either down or tied and not play well. You know, get like a couple shots on goal and that's it. They were just swarming Colorado that third period. And so when they finally get that tying goal, you know, it felt like just inevitable, right? I mean, it felt like Forsberg and all those guys down there in the front of the net were just like just hacking away. And it wasn't that surprising when it happened. Now, the Yakov Trenin goal, that was surprising. I think everyone was shocked when that happened because of just the just crazy mistake and bounce that came off of Cale Makar and then Trenin just being there. But, you know, even then, those guys, Trenin, Cole Smith, Parsonen, have been, you know, they were all in the Colorado zone all night, just working hard, you know, behind the net, fighting for pucks. And so for them to get that bounce was great. But, you know, in terms of momentum, like, I think this is huge. You know, being able to beat a team like Chicago last Saturday was important because, you know, you want to beat teams like Chicago. You feel like you're better than them right now. But I don't think many are expecting them to go toe-to-toe with Colorado and Dallas and Vegas and those teams this year. So the first time they really face a really, really good team like that, they come away with 2 points. That's pretty important.
How does Philip Forsberg's tear here, Alex, compare to some of the best you've seen from him?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time, Joe. Sorry.
How does Philip Forsberg's stretch here of excellent play compare to some of the best you've seen from him?
So, I mean, I think Philip Forsberg has been incredible for the last couple of years, honestly. Like, I watch him, and if you really watch him play, you know when you can tell when he's on, right? You can tell he's physical. He has an extra step. Even though he's not the fastest player, he seems to play fast, especially in the offensive zone. But I went back and looked. I mean, most people probably wouldn't think this, but if you look at his last 82 games, I just tweeted this out before this morning. His last 82 regular season games, he has 80 points, 31 goals, 49 assists in his last 82 games. So if you call that a full season because he's had a lot of injuries, you know, he's a point per game player in his last 82 games. That's, to me, that's worth the money they're paying him. I mean, like, that's what you want out of him. And this start to this season has been good because I think it's just an indication of where they're going. That I was thinking about this. Think about the last 3 years. Probably the most important skater for the Nashville Predators over the last 3 years, maybe longer, has been Roman Josi. Right? I mean, it's been Roman Josi or bust. I mean, so far this season, the most important skater on that ice is Philip Forsberg to me. That's what it feels like. So it feels like almost like a shift in emphasis, in importance. Like, we want this guy to be the guy that generates the offense, and Roman Josi can do maybe other things. I don't know. It just seems like Forsberg has been next level, and he's among the, you know, among the best players in the league right now.
Well, to that point, I mean, Forsberg is on a 100-point pace right now. He's playing really, really well. You brought up Josi. I think Josi is playing fine. I think he's trying to find his game. He's got 11 points in 17 games. But, Alex, do you feel like the way that Brunette wants them to play, and that's quick in transition, getting the puck off the ice, maybe a little less carrying the mail from the defenseman, do you feel like the Predators have started to grasp that? Because I thought early on in the season they were having some difficulty doing so, and lately it feels like they're playing more towards the way that he wants them to play.
I definitely agree. Yeah, I mean, you can tell. So, I mean, I think the Josi factor is a big part of this. I mean, for the last 3-4 years, the offense specifically, like the attackers, the forwards in that zone, have been just counting on 59 to swoop in, to skate around, to possess the puck in the zone, to do all kinds of things. And so it's hard to break that habit. You know, like they know, okay, if I dump it in or if I just get in the zone, I can fight for the puck a little bit, and then I can just drop it to 59 and he's going to do a bunch of things. And it just doesn't seem to be that way anymore. I mean, not that Josi can't do those things or that he doesn't want to. I think it's just an emphasis. I think the emphasis is the forwards are going to push in transition. You see a lot of three guys going into the zone at once, two guys going into the zone at once, together with the play, not just dumping it in, but you know, crisscrossing and jumping in behind and making diagonal passes into the zone. Like there's a lot more movement from the forwards that the defensemen, especially Josi, just don't have to create as much. So I think you're right. They're finally starting to put together, I think, what Brunette wants to do. And I think they're going to be better in the long run for it. Because, look, I mean, everyone likes to watch Roman Josi skate, but you got a lot of years left on that contract. You want him to last. You know, you want him to – he's still going to be in the top 2% of skaters in the league, like in terms of distance, but – you don't want him to waste all these, or use up all the gas here in a rebuilding year. Save him for a couple of years down the road when they're actually competing.
So that system in transition, Alex, he always starts slow. We know this, but is there any concern in your mind beyond that for UC Saros and how he's played so far?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the guy didn't, you know, forget how to play goaltender overnight. It's always weird with goalies. They're so hard to understand. They're strange people. They have they're wizards in a way. Like they just they have a strange lifestyle, and you just never know exactly what's going to happen with them. I wouldn't be concerned. I mean, I just think that they need to just pace it. You know, like give Lankinen some starts. You know, don't be afraid to go to him. He was great against Chicago, and he's been good in his time here. So just give him some time. I think even last night, like I think you saw maybe like a fraction of an improvement from Saros. Like there were some plays, you know, maybe the Devin Taves goal, you'd like to see him get a pat on that. But I don't know. I think like he was a little bit better in that game than he was say against Anaheim or against Arizona. So slow incremental improvement is good when it comes to your goaltender.
Alex, last thing for you here. What have you made of the way that the year has gone for the three young guys to this point? And by those three guys, I mean Juuso Parsonen, Luke Evangelista, Philip Tomasino. All three of them have been scratched at some point. Evangelista was the latest one last night. It didn't sound like a huge deal yesterday morning from Andrew Brunette. Said it was kind of more of a reset, and then he'll get back in pretty soon here. But overall, what have you made of the way that those three have played? Tomasino, Parson, and Evangelista.
You know, I think I would go back to something I've seen recently from some people who follow prospects. Like, the NHL is not a developmental league. It is a pro league. Like, you cannot expect these guys, these 21, 22-year-olds, to come in and just like figure it out every day on the fly. Like they're not going to develop the way they are in the American League or in their junior team. So it's just different for those guys. And Evangelista, I think all of them have things to offer, right? I think you've seen you really like, I think between the three of them, Juuso Parsonen seems to be more like he's found a specific part of his game that he knows he can exploit every time. Every single game so far with Parsonen, you've seen a moment where he's like, all right, I'm just going to body this guy up. I'm going to shield the puck, and I'm going to own the possession of this puck right now. And Evangelista, I think you've seen some of that with his puck possession. Tomasino, I think, has looked faster recently. So you've seen little parts of their game kind of come out, even if overall, they're not like kind of where we want them to be right now. But again, it's just, it's not a developmental league. It's a very difficult league to learn as you go, so to speak. So I think they're okay right now.
Well, Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, we're forgetting one thing. I mean, isn't Allison Stanley 1-0 in Bridgestone Arena? Isn't that what's happened last night?
Ah, that's right.
She is 1-0. She is undefeated, and I've been told by several members of the organization that she's now required to be at all games moving forward.
Well, that means you got to dress up more often, right?
I know. I'd be required to dress up. All kinds of things have to happen.
You did look very nice, I must say.
It was at the behest of my wife. What do you want me to say? I got to do it. Pictures were going to be taken, and they were. It was good. Thanks,
Sounds
Alex.
Good.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you, buddy.
Guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
They
were precious, and by that I mean you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I thought that Alex was going to ask you for a midseason Admirals report, which we've not done so far this year.
I thought he was going to say, let's get back to firing Vrabel. Well, I mean, there were so many ways that could have gone.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on a big Preds win last night. They take down Colorado 4-3. Also get to more of your thoughts on Mike Vrabel and the Titans as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.